and to hear of the work that you're doing both in this land and around the world. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray now that as we listen to these words, that you would bless them to us. And may it be, Lord, that we would go away from this place today more enlightened as to what you are doing and more ready to follow it with prayers and with our gifts, we ask in our Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Isaiah 55, I suppose, is one of my favourite portions of the scripture. Isaiah is a great prophecy, and Isaiah 55 is it's a lovely chapter to read, and the invitation that is given there. So you might still remember the first moment you experienced something resembling normal this year. What was it? Perhaps it was the gym, jumping on a bus, a shopping trip in town, or meeting a friend for coffee. Whatever it was, there was probably the feeling we are finally coming out of this. In the Bible passage that we read together, we're going to look at today, we're going to find people coming out of something. Isaiah 55 has a message for exiles returning home. Israel's exile had lasted 70 years, and that was 70 years away from any kind of normality, 70 years away from home, and worst of all, 70 years away from the temple, from the presence of God. Isaiah 55 is written for Israel's return, but what were they feeling? Disappointed, fearful, hurt, perhaps done with God. After all, where had he been in the middle of all this? And maybe some Christians, maybe someone here this morning is feeling the same way. If this sounds familiar, it's because it's a common human experience. Theologian Andrew Ollerton says, exile is more than just an event in the Bible. It's a deep metaphor that explains a universal condition that we still experience today. So what are you like coming out of exile? Perhaps you may be just relieved this is all done and ready to get on with things again. But if we're honest, we might be feeling disappointed, hurt, or full of fear. Perhaps we're feeling like giving up or already have. Perhaps we've done with God or questioning where he's been all this time. Israel's experience of exile is in some ways like ours. But there is an invitation within the Bible which, if we respond to it, can change everything. The invitation Clive read to us, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. The invitation is to all who are thirsty. They are those who thirst for more, for a life without the pains of emptiness, to those who thirst for love and keep looking in all the wrong places, and those who are thirst for justice in their own lives and in the life of the world. Furthermore, it's those who have no money who are invited to the banquet. In Hebrew thinking, this could mean poor, but also the outsider. It's not just the one who doesn't know when the next paycheck is arriving. It's the one who feels they have nothing to offer, the one who feels they've been forgotten. You don't have to qualify or measure up in some way. This banquet is free. The invitation is for all, and who labor. The prophet, in tune with those who are working themselves into the ground without seeing any lasting results. This may be our experience too. If we are working in order to be a success, to matter, to be liked, we're invited to stop. Verse 3 of the invitation says, "Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." To a people that would have known the Bible, would have really hit home. God, back to the beginning of the story, God made a beautiful world, and in it a beautiful garden, a place for people to live and work and worship him. There a river flowed, bringing life to all. Turn a page, and by Genesis 3, we see humans rebelling and turning from God. This is our human condition, to do away with God. There is a deep drought within us all, and it leaves us in the wilderness. But God doesn't give up on us. Throughout the biblical story, there are many moments where God continues to rescue and meet his people's needs, often at places of water. And we've been reminded of that already this morning, haven't we? God provides at wells like Jacob, through springs in the desert like Hagar, and oases in the wilderness as he did for Israel in the Exodus. All these stories show us how radically committed God is to his people, despite their rebellion. This is his covenant, his promise. God says, "Regardless of how you've treated me, I will never forsake you. I am going to love you to the end and bring you back." To a people coming out of exile, God says, "Don't stop believing my covenant is everlasting." The invitation is from Jesus. Jesus is God coming good on his word. Jesus is God bringing this water of real life to the world again. Jesus is God's faithful love and covenant with skin and flesh on. As Jesus died on the cross, he said, "I am thirsty." Of course, Jesus was physically thirsty, but he also said, this is a symbol of what the cross was achieving. He thirsted so we don't have to. He took on our death so we can have life. He was exiled so that we can come home. He was abandoned so that we can know love. And in John 7:37, he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." His promise really is for anyone and everyone. Some of us might find it hard to accept an invitation like that. We might struggle to think we could be loved. We live in a world of flaky and fragile relationships, where it's easy for us to be cancelled if we do not, if we do or say one wrong thing, or dropped if we don't make the grade. We might think God is the same. Will he cancel me? Will he drop me? Does he realize who he's really inviting? But God isn't like that. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In these verses, God is saying, "I don't respond like you. My love is not like your love. I am not like the other people in your life. I cannot go back on my word. You simply don't have a way of measuring or even understanding the sheer depth and width and height of my love. A love like this means we can come out of exile, despite all the uncertainty we face, secure in the knowledge that we are loved. We can stop trying to fill our emptiness, trying to prove ourselves, and endlessly laboring. We can rest in the knowledge that we will always be loved. This is the invitation, our call. But God never invites us in without calling out. The very invitation we enter in becomes our call. This is a pattern we see through the whole Bible. God tells Abraham that he would bless him and that he should go and be a blessing to others. He reveals himself to Moses in a burning bush and then tells him to go to Pharaoh. And Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." John 20 and verse 21. So what is our call? Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Israel's call was to go to the nations that did not know God and call on them to turn and run to him so that they too might live. We've been called to invite others to what we ourselves were invited into. And as we come out of our exile, the invitation has never been more needed or more relevant. After all this, this was a people returning from exile. They were battered, bruised, and filled with doubt and fear. Surely not a people fit for sending. But the call of God doesn't wait for those who are already strong, capable, and confident. It comes to us in our weakness and in our doubt and fear. And if we're sensing that we're not ready, not good enough for sending, God has us right where he wants us, where he can give us his courage. Verse 10 says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it." The promises of God are sure and certain as the rain that falls from the sky. Just as it brings new life and growth, so will the word of God. This is what God says to a fearful Israel coming out of exile. And he says the same to us today. "My word will not fail. Take heart." This is a promise we need to hear, because fear plays such a massive role in our lives. And we're so easily discouraged by our own fearfulness. You might have dreamed a dream or felt a conviction that you could make a difference, only to be prevented by fear. Fear is natural. Courage, though, is a choice, and the world needs a courageous church. Courage doesn't deny fear, but it says that fear isn't the only thing there. There is something greater. The people returning from exile need to hear that God's word will not return to him empty. Imagine if we as the church refused to let fear have the last word. Imagine what would happen in our communities and in our world if we really had this sort of faith in God's unfailing word, if we really were willing to accept God's call on our lives. In closing, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Just like the unique touch ID that allows you into your iPhone, God has uniquely shaped and wired you, your experiences, your language, your background, to make you the key to touching and transforming other people's lives. As the American theologian Tim Keller says, there are some needs only you can see. There are some hands only you can hold. There are some people only you can touch. So have you responded to the invitation? May God give you the courage and the invitation you have accepted to become your call. I just pray that those words, they're not my words, they were for the sermon today. But I just pray that as we reflect on these things, that the Lord will speak to us. Let's then, we'll sing our final song, and then I've got just, I'll close with a final piece. Thank you.
To bring him praise. Come, call and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Rest in the arms of mercy, reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come, those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come, those who tell our battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ,
Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instructions for right living. Think, are you engaging with the Bible in the best way you can? Do you take time to consider how you might need to respond to what you've read? Thank you, God, for inspiring all the authors of the books of the Bible. Thank you for the Bible. Help me to grow in wisdom and understanding. Please let your gracious word convict, inspire, and help me today. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together this morning, considering your word and considering, Lord, these two organizations whose duty and indeed the very purpose for them being there is that they might purport your word, that we might be able to take your word and use it and to the salvation of those who don't know you. Father, we just thank you for this time spent together this morning. And our Father, we just pray that you would part us with your blessing now. Bless our fellowship together. And as we would part, that you would take us to our various homes in safety, we pray. For your dear name's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Can I just say in closing that on the table with the various publications that you can see, there's three little tubes, mite files we call them. If you'd like to take one of those, people have them, and it's amazing how much they come. You just put your loose change in, and I've had from some people as much as £30 that they've collected and they put it in a bag and they start again. And others I remember going out to collect one from a chap in Cheltenham, and there wasn't even a pound in it. But it cost me more than that to get there. But there we are. But if you'd like one, I've got more in the case. And it's when you've filled it, put enough in, then you know where I am. I'm the branch treasurer, so we'll try and help you. Thanks for being here this morning, and I trust that the time has been a blessing. Thank you.